Hi, welcome to another Revenue Hub Expert Insights discussion. Today we continue with part two of our discussion around hotel break-even and its value in helping hotels when developing their revenue management strategies as we reopen. As a reminder, our guests for this conversation are Peter Russell, Chief Operating Officer at Russell Partnership Technology, and Thibaut Catala, Founder and Managing Director at Catala Consulting. In this discussion, we look to explore the different scenarios that may come up as we start to reopen. We look at possible cost implications and revenue opportunities these scenarios may create, and how by understanding your break-even and modelling these scenarios, you can see if they will be profitable or not. As with part one, it's important to stress this is audio from a video discussion we recorded, so we do refer to screen sharing and looking at a spreadsheet. You can find this video on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Okay, so we've touched on some potential scenarios that will occur. Let's try and see how this plays out. We then say, okay, so how do we take a scenario, and then how can we model that? And maybe we might jump around a little bit with a bit of screen sharing to say, okay, if we had scenario X, how might that influence our decisions, and how might that influence some of our inputs? So for those watching us, you'll probably see a bit of our faces, but maybe you may end up with a bit of an Excel spreadsheet as well as we look at plugging some numbers in and see how this works. So where do we want to take this? Over to you guys. Should we pick a scenario? I mean, how about... I'll throw one out. How about just a scenario, a very generic scenario at the moment, without looking at segments, where we know that there may be some constraints around the level of occupancy that we could actually have to ensure that we have social distancing. So I guess we could have a level of occupancy for our rooms. And then if we look at F&B, we could have a level of occupancy in our restaurants as well. And it might be useful to look at it in both of those terms, because of the staffing influence that might come, that we might have a slightly different rooms occupancy that we can have that we could cater for in our F&B operations. Does that, as a simple example, does that work for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very happy to come in on that first. I agree. I think first thing, like you said, with that is, I think the first step is to produce the new, in effect, the 100% occupancy. So obviously, with a hotel, we're always shooting for 100% occupancy. The goal is always to have every room occupied every night. You know, we know the way that we talk about hotel rooms being one of the most perishable products. If we don't sell it tonight, we can't sell it again. So we need to understand, if we do have a reduced maximum occupancy, so if that's now 70% of what would have been 100%, that now becomes our 100%. And I think also in sort of, psychological terms, we need to see that as being the new success. So We should look at that as being, well, if you get anywhere near to that, then we're doing great. We shouldn't sort of think, oh, well, we're still not where we used to be. I think we have to accept that new norm. And then within that, I think, as you said, we then need to work on what happens within that, because if we're having gaps between room nights, so if we have to have the room clear a whole day to clean it properly before the next guest, then understanding how that impacts the costs and understanding all those other bits. I think with revenue management, there's always been that element around the black box telling us what we should be doing in terms of revenue management and forecasting. I think a lot of people are throwing those black boxes out the window at the moment. And I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, because it's always for us, in terms of our view, about being utilizing that technology, but utilizing that with human intervention as well. I'm not saying don't use those RM systems. They're powerful and they're brilliant. You should be using those as well. I think it's about understanding those and questioning them to then pick out the finer detail to do what we're trying to do at this point.
That makes sense. Thibaut, you're nodding away there. Anything else to add into?
I love the revenue management black box because it's something which is still the case nowadays. And our role as a revenue manager is to make sure people understand what's going on with the systems, but as well revenue management. So it's the end of the revenue manager, like just crunching numbers and just by himself and not sharing anything, and we don't know what's going on, but we just ask for guidance from revenue manager. So it's very important at any level, pre, post, during the pandemic, that revenue management share as much knowledge and as much information with the teams to make sure everyone's on board, everyone understands what's going on, and to create the right culture to move forward in this direction. I believe that will accelerate the recovery and hotels which are going to drive a lot of much of the market share are the ones which embrace revenue management and create the right culture within the organization. So not only stuck in the revenue manager room. I think that's most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to add one thing to that as well, I think, like I mentioned there, I think it's a back to basics approach with things. And I don't mean that we should be basic in the way that we think. I mean, we should be going back to the basics of maybe the stuff that we used to take for granted. So when we're looking at these scenarios, so as you mentioned there, Trevor, looking at this scenario or the other scenarios we look at, I think it's even as far as saying, well, let's produce a business plan for this scenario. You know, going back and saying, well, why don't we do a SWOT analysis for this? But we're going to start with a blank piece of paper. I think, and this is not saying that this is, you know, been done wrong in the past. That's not the case. It's the fact that we've had such a shakeup. That's what's requiring this to be to happen. In the past, we could very much take the business plan, the SWOT from previous years, and then we could adapt it. Whereas now there's been so much change, we need to think, you know, in reality, okay, you know, where are those strengths? What are the things that we have that are weak? And look for those opportunities and the threats and be prepared for those as well. Because you make that as complex or as detailed as it needs to be, even though it's a very, very simple tool at the heart of what it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. So just picking up then, so let's just take a generic scenario. Let's assume that when we open up, we realize that, well, what do you think, Thibaut? What are you seeing? What are you, your hotels expecting that they would be able to have as a kind of a maximum occupancy? What are they working towards at the moment?
Well, I would say like most of the break-even point we have identified across Europe were in the range between 25 to 40%.
Okay.
That was kind of a benchmark that we had. Not a benchmark, but like most of the result that we had was between 25 to 40%.
Okay.
Which seems low, but seems high nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's in between. So we were looking at some what kind of cost we can reduce to reduce those occupancy break-even.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, if you ask me like what will be the occupancy for next month or even for May, nowadays it's very, very difficult to tell you about because we have seen two bunch of demands nowadays. It's like very duper, super duper last minute, like the day for the day or 3 days in advance maximum, and then long time in advance, like for summer onwards. But in between, we don't have any visibility.
Yeah.
Very complicated. So if they tell me like, okay, my break-even analysis tell me that I have 35%, can I reopen in May? I said like today I cannot tell you. Just plan for different scenarios. You mentioned like a low, medium, and a high optimistic scenarios, and have a different strategy in place with your cost structure, your team, which is super duper important to have the payroll in place because most of the time it's the biggest bunch of cost. And plan accordingly depending on what's going to happen, and you're going to see more, you're going to have more clarity as you get forward and as you get closer to the date of reopening.
No, that makes sense. So maybe then let's just look at if you could do a screen share again, Peter, and maybe we could look at just how, not looking at the scenarios we're quite putting in at the top end, but if we're working on maybe a let's say a 50% occupancy in our rooms and then maybe, I don't know, 30% occupancy or something in our F&B and some of the thoughts that we would need to have to consider with those occupancy levels, and then how those thoughts then get us round. And Thibaut, this is obviously your space as well in terms of, okay, well, if that's what we're working with, what are we then modeling in terms of our revenue strategy? So if we were looking first off and we're thinking, okay, we're starting off with a 50% occupancy, where are we plugging? We can put that in on the row there. Yeah
absolutely. So I mean, I think there's a number of things to think about. So it's going to be about the and I was thinking back to what Thibaut was just saying there in terms of this as well, in terms of what this means and where those change points are going to be as well in terms of opening back up. So if you looked at, say, London as an example, then there's going to be some key parts there. When the hotels open, obviously we know that there'll be lower demand. As certain things start to reopen again, so take things like the West End or the theatres and stuff like that, that'll be a big element of bringing people back into the city where they're going to want to stay in a hotel. And then there'll be other things, and think about some of the bigger events and things that are happening. We've just seen news in some of the recent days about some of those things like festivals and the sort of bigger events that are starting to say, yes, we expect to be happening this year, and this is when things are going to happen. So I think we build in when those things are going to happen. So I plugged in there. So this is starting in January. So let's actually just change that. So what we can do is we can go back and let's say we're going to open in April, put the 1st of April in, and then that's going to automatically change. So let's say we expect 50% when we open in April. And then we can say, well, yeah, we still think we'll expect 50% for maybe the first 3 months. Then we think we might grow to 60% for the next 3 months. I'm obviously doing very, very broad numbers there in terms of kind of three months. And then maybe we think we're going to plateau at 70%, because maybe that's our top that we talked about. So maybe we're saying, well, actually, when we get to 70%, that's our, in essence, our new 100%, because we can't get any higher than that. And maybe this is an optimistic approach. Maybe, again, this will vary depending on what people think they can do. The bits underneath, and not that those are irrelevant, but that doesn't really answer the question we were just talking about. What we then would need to think about is thinking through the next bits in terms of the costs, like we talked about. So how do these things change? So these are all done as percentages for this very reason. So as we were just talking about there, those percentages will change, obviously, based on the levels of occupancy. So we need to think, well, what are these numbers? And we need to think, well, what are our staff costs? How is that going to change? How can we tighten our belts in these areas? And then we can think through any of those other elements. So what other costs do we have? So let's say that with the West End reopening, that means that we then have to do something different in terms of the way that we're operating in order to deal with that more people coming back. So then we can start to block in. Well, we think that's going to happen in July. So then we block in the cost element for that within that month, because that's when we're expecting it. Because then we've got our kind of broad macro approach in terms of this is what we're expecting. And then we're starting to drill down into the more finer detail of what we're doing within each bit. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the way that we would certainly suggest to do this. So being aware of that phasing and then forecasting and in this element to then see, well, what does that look like?
So just picking up on that then. So if we've got a reduced occupancy, we might see that our cost levels may be slightly lower to start mm-hmm. with and increasing. And then also the other costs that you refer to there, would that be, and I think you touched on it earlier, that if you're doing cleaning between rooms, so there's only certain room nights, that would be other, that might be other costs that you can build in the cost of the cleaning within those, or there may be other areas within there where you could build it in, but it gives you a chance to model in those additional costs to see, is that occupancy, when we then get to cash flow and profit, is that actually going to be sustainable at those sort of levels? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, it's the broader things that will be true regardless of what's happening through the reopening, and then the sort of date or month or event specific type things. And by event, I mean that could be anything. Especially because we are starting to get word. You know, I touched on it earlier, talking about conferencing and events and things like that. Again, huge topic. And then also things like weddings and things like that. You know, there will be, that business will come back. There is a huge amount of pent up demand waiting to be released in terms of these areas. So that there is demand. And of course, that's going to vary based on location and type of hotels and all those sorts of things. But again, with an eye to thinking about those things, that'll be really interesting to see how people forecast for that as well.
It makes sense. Very, very quickly, and then I'll switch over to Thibaut, because we'll go back up into the accommodation bit in a moment. But just quickly, if we look on the F&B input as well, so we've got a reduced kind of capacity here. So again, we've got that same scenario that we can look at the number of covers or meals per day that we can build in based on a reduced occupancy. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, with this, the way we've built this in terms of the way we've kind of managed it is it's not based on occupancy necessarily, because in a restaurant we would focus more on predicted number of covers, of people.
Exactly. But so essentially, you know, you've got like a 30%, you can only do 30% for the social distancing of what you normally would do. You can work out how many covers that's typically going to be.
Like I said earlier, it's not that we have to completely throw away all the old data that we had. If we know that in good times, you know, or if we know that when we're at 50% occupancy, we know that we'd normally have X number of covers, we might say, well, actually, we're now going to say, well, we think we'll do 60% of that number. Mm-hmm. And then we can then punch those numbers into this. And then we can think about what it means in terms of the other areas as well. How is anything else impacted by that? As we talked about, are the different costs, do we need less staff because we can't have more staff because we need to distance them as well. So we need to think about the way that those things work. And then are there any other things we need to do? Are there any other costs associated? Have we had to change the way that we deliver the food and beverage? Have we had to change delivery methods? Again, that could be a whole range of stuff, but just making sure that we're dealing with things in a COVID secure way will naturally have changes in the way that stuff is delivered.
That makes sense. Thibaut, we'll go back and look at the accommodation piece and look at the pricing and the revenue management strategies. But any comments just around what we've just covered so far?
Yeah, I mean, on the F&B part, continue on this one. I believe it's important, as you mentioned, to understand the cost and even the break-even on the F&B. And you have different things that you can look at, such as do you need to open all the outlets if you have different outlets in your in your property? Can you operate with only one or two or even like half of an outlet? Can opening times can be reviewed to make sure it's very efficient and productive? That's super important. Can you operate with a reduced menu or can you room service hours be reduced? So you have quite a lot of strategic thinking and decision that you can take based on this analysis to make sure you understand where you're going to not lose money.
And I think picking up on your room service point, you mentioned reduced. The other way is also to expand it because it may well be that you could, if you've got a 60% occupancy in your rooms, but you can only accommodate, say, 30% of what covers you would normally have in your restaurant, well, you've got more guests than you're probably accommodating in your restaurant. But if you're running if the restaurant is open, you might not need as much staff actually in the restaurant, but you could be doing takeaway and they could be ordering from the restaurant and having the room service piece.
I think the room service piece is really interesting. I think because, and again, this is not suggesting that there's a right way and a wrong way to do this, but I know a lot of hotels had a real feeling against things like allowing Uber Eats and Just Eat and the kind of delivery service type elements because they wanted to be able to deliver the room service in-house. Whereas actually, potentially, maybe not longer term, but maybe shorter or medium term, a lot of hotels may actually open their arms to that sort of thing and help to facilitate that for guests who are staying and say, we will help you with this. Some hotels had already started doing that and say, well, you feel free to go ahead, you can order, and then we'll bring it up to your room, because then that allows a really streamlined way of doing that. And it has really good ways of helping with social distancing. Yeah. So there's a lot of benefits doing things like that, especially as Thibaut was just saying, we may not really benefit us to open all the outlets. And especially at certain times of day, you know, maybe it does benefit us to do as during the core hours within the sort of normal. There isn't a normal working day in a hotel, which I know painfully from used to working nights in hotels, but potentially we say, well, actually we're stopping that food service at 7 p.m. and from that point on then these are the delivery partners that we work with, and a lot of guests would probably see that as a real plus point. So I think there's some interesting things there around how that can work.
I think like the keyword is like maximize productivity, becoming efficient with potentially less without impacting the guest satisfaction. And that would be super important, complicated, but productivity is a key word, I believe.
That makes sense. Can you just share that screen back again with us, Peter?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Just get Thibaut, then we can look into the kind of the cost. So if we've got the accommodation bit. So if we're working on that, we've got our occupancy levels of, say, 50, as we've modeled them out, 50, 60, 70%. I guess the key thing then is to start looking at, okay, what decisions do we make, on a very simple level, just around our pricing, for instance, before we even get into looking at how we're then going to position and promote and use our various different channels to get the word out there. So what kind of thoughts would you be running through or discussing with a hotel, Thibaut, around kind of that revenue management strategy with those kind of occupancy constraints?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the most important is not occupancy, it's not ADR neither, it's revenue. Mm-hmm. We all look at optimizing RevPAR. So we look at what is the best revenue I can get for those kind of demands.
Yeah, good point.
So it can be like a 25%, but like 2,000, which will be driving a good revenue, or the reverse with high occupancy and low ADR. However, in this specific scenario, the worst case scenario would be to drop the rate to drive more occupancy, because you can damage your brand, you can damage the market. And if you want to start dropping the rates, then you have a race to the bottom, where we had a discussion on this, Trevor, a few months ago.
Yeah.
So again, if anyone is listening, don't drop your rate. Even if you see it's not converting as much as you want, don't drop your rate. You can do some OPEC and things in the back end without impacting your front end pre-pricing. But it's very important to respect your hotel positioning and your brand positioning within the market. So yes, if the market starts to drop and you know that, for example, you have an Hilton and you know that you are, okay, you have a hotel A and you are between Hilton and DoubleTree, I don't know, which is actually the same. Mm-hmm. And you start seeing like they start to drop and start to increase, then move along those kind of movement as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Respecting your positioning within the market is very important when you decide on your pricing. Then you can have some tactical offers or tactical pricing strategy to try to boost your occupancy. But more in the back end, not to impact your front end pre-pricing. So the average room rate will be impacted by what kind of segmentation you have in-house, what kind of market you can target. For example, like the key workers, which are not front end pre-booked rated, but are quite low in terms of ADR, will impact quite dramatically your average rate, but will drive a good occupancy, for example.
Yeah.
So it's a mix, like diversification, but focus. But the most important is not to damage your brand publicly with your front end. So your best ever rate, your advanced purchase, which are on booking.com, which are on your website, this one should be in line with your brand positioning and your market positioning. And then you're in the back end with your segmentation, your corporate, your negotiated account that you have. And this one you can do pretty much whatever you want to make sure you drive more revenue. So it's a balance between all of this.
Okay, so just to finish this then, and then we can sort of switch off the spreadsheet and kind of just almost look to kind of wrap up these thoughts, but look at your faces rather than the spreadsheet. So picking up on that point, if you know, as you say, you're trying to make sure that your price is reflective of your hotel and its brand and your offering. Now, if your price of your competitors is going up and down, you can move your price within your competitor set, but it's not stepping outside of that and dropping the price just to grab the occupancy. So again, finally, how you could use a tool like this is to be able to say, okay, well, you can model in certain prices to see if you've now put in your occupancy levels, if you've now put in your costs, if you've thought a little bit about how you can spread your costs out so you can see your cash flow, you could now start to model some different pricing scenarios to see what the impact is on your cash flow forecasting over the next few months. And then that gets you to step back out and say, okay, well, we can be having this conversation with our revenue manager or our revenue consultant or whoever is responsible for this commercial piece, but at least you're able to model some different scenarios and then step back and say, okay, how does that fit in with our overall strategy?
But you see, like in the break-even analysis, there is one point, which is your average rate that you're expecting for the period on your forecast, okay? So now if your GM or owner tell you like you need to drop the rate because we need more revenue and we need more occupancy and so on, then go back to the break-even analysis with a new, let's say like you expect 10% discount on top of what you have, or 20% discount, or even 50, like they say like, okay, let's go 50, we'll go full blast.
Yeah.
But now if you look at your new break-even point, you are like a 70 or 110%. Okay, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So go back to this one, look at the data, because that's something like I've learned on the last 10 years. Always support your decisions and your ideas with data. Because if I tell you like, we shouldn't drop the rate by 20% because I think it's not right. Okay, Thibault is foolish, I don't care. But if I show the data based on what I'm saying, like it doesn't make any sense, then it's hard to argue.
I've got you. So if I could just get you to switch off the screen share a minute for us, then Peter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get back to our main. So sorry, you were gonna say something there, Peter.
Yeah, I was just gonna agree exactly and say the same thing. And yeah, one of the other things that's built into the system we produce was tracking those metrics in terms of what does our RevPAR look like, what does our ADR look like, what does our TrevPAR look like. Just to make sure, because we need to understand what those things are. You know, it might be that we're willing to accept lower numbers in those areas for the first part of the recovery, and then we want to see them growth. I know something that's really important for a lot of hotels, whether they're individual or part of chains, is things like that RevPAR index growth. So it's that growth of the number. So I think it's always important to look at the comp set, but it's also important to know that we internally are growing and improving as well.
I think there's a good point here because I had a discussion with a client yesterday, and we have noticed that from May or June onwards, we have seen hotels in London with have increased the rate back to what it was in 2019. I have the feeling that a lot of hotels wants to catch up on what they have lost for 2020, but that's not will be like this. It will not be like this. So it will be like a step by step. Pricing is definitely a good one.
I think in terms of just sort of pulling, because I'm conscious of your guys' times, so I don't want to overstay our welcome with you. But I think what I've taken from this is using, understanding your break even, whatever tool you use to get to that point, to then be able to use it in conjunction. You know, these sometimes you feel a bit like how revenue management and marketing sit in their little silos. You almost feel as if there's like a finance with their break even and their profit or loss, and then you've got your revenue management and then your sales, and almost using this break even to have that conversation and say, okay, well, we can forecast out what our occupancy levels are. We can look at what we expect our ADR to be. If we want to generate, back to your point, Tiba, I think you gave an example, you know, if we wanted to go with a mass blast and we wanted a discount by 50%, what do we expect? You know, what are we thinking that is going to generate us in terms of increased bookings? And so going back to that sort of tool, you can put in the price, you can put in what increased bookings you expect to see, and then you can go straight to look at the bottom line and say, well, actually, is this going to generate us, and forget just more revenue, which the point is valid, but you know, if we're going to have more people coming in, we've got to have a greater staff cost, we're going to have maybe greater cleaning costs, so we've got to build those factors in. Is it actually a sensible strategy? And so we suddenly start to move beyond this focus on booking and revenue into, is this a profitable revenue strategy for our property, irrespective of the times we're in, but probably even more critical when we are going to be working with reduced demand or reduced occupancy constraints put on us. Is that a fair kind of trying to wrap this up? Is that a fair summary?
100%. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Yeah, I think absolutely. I think it's always been important to have that holistic approach in terms of sharing between departments. Maybe doesn't always happen, probably because everyone's so busy. But I think, yeah, definitely worthwhile doing. And I think having that understanding, and I think, yeah, as you were just saying there, I think we're not going to be able to recover all that we've lost by being shut for a year in one go. It needs to be part of a measured recovery. And I think it's that understanding that supply is still going to be fixed. It's still perishable, and it's going to be hard to obtain. So I think it's worthwhile working those things in, because it's all going to be part of that recovery process.
No, makes sense. Any final thoughts from you guys? I think we've covered everything that we had hoped to. Hopefully it's been of interest. We've tried to make it a little bit interactive, but actually practical rather than just a theoretical. So hopefully it's been of value to anyone watching and listening. But again, any final comments from you guys at all?
I think, yeah, I mean, for me, the biggest point that we quickly touch, it's we have a lot of hotels which are unable to bring back a full team upon reopening, and payroll is actually quite a big one when it comes to cost. But as well, you have one which will come in the next few months, it's a staff shortage, meaning like you have a lot of shortage in staff, which will have also an increase on the workload for individual employees in all departments. And I'm not even mentioning the Brexit regulation in the UK, which will create even more shortage in the long term.
Yeah.
But hoteliers are looking for more flexible and affordable solutions. And in my opinion, there are two different areas where you can actually leverage this kind of thing. First of all, it goes back to the technology point, which is leveraging technology to automate as much as possible. And then a second point is more like for more contractual flexibility, looking to cluster as much as you can any position, like in a back office, like or you can even, and I go back to me as well, hire outsource companies, and that's also a model which has been very popular nowadays because people are looking for more flexibility nowadays. So it can be like sales, marketing, finance, rev management, everything which is in the back end, and you can clusterize or outsource completely. So aim for a digital extension of the team, not replacing anyone or replacing any jobs, but looking at increasing the efficiency with the leverage of technology and outsource or clustering your positions. So,
yeah, I only just have two things to add to that. Just to reiterate what you said, Trevor, in terms of definitely I would recommend using something to track, measure and forecast. If anyone's interested, talk to us about our tool, but do go ahead and use something. As we said earlier, that wasn't supposed to be a sales pitch. That was there as an example. And building on Thibaut's point there about clustering, this is kind of related to forecasting, but it's a bit more related to the cost control side of things. I heard a really good example the other day from somebody saying that what they'd done is they'd actually got together with some other local competitor hotels and they'd combined forces in terms of some purchasing to help them to be able to reduce some costs across the two or three of them. In normal times, that sort of thing just doesn't seem to happen, but COVID does seem to have brought people together a bit more and brought more of a sharing, caring nature. So again, look for those innovative strategies, whatever they are, because there will be things that can help people.
That's a good example. Brilliant. Guys, super. Thanks so much. Always good to talk with you. Personally found it really interesting. So hope others feel the same, but I certainly got something from it. Certainly was very interesting. And I really do appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Trevor. Cheers, thanks for hosting.
Cheers, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that's the end of part two and this discussion around break even and its benefit when developing your revenue management strategies as we reopen. I'd like to thank Peter and Thibaut for joining us, and I hope you found the conversation interesting. Feel free to contact us if you have any questions. We're always interested in your thoughts and we're happy to follow up with our guests. You can reach us via our social channels or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's INSIGHTS, insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you would consider subscribing. It really helps out the channel. And by helping out the channel, you help us to help others. Until next time. Thanks for listening.